Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. This week's message is a bit different from those in the past. We're going to discuss some things that kingdom citizens should understand and what most know nothing about. Jesus has designed his church to operate as a kingdom within a nation. He's no respecter of persons, class, or national heritage. Yet, there are many in the United States who have been taught that Christian ways are not politically correct. They've often used the excuse that there is a separation between church and state. Well, we're going to talk about some of those things in light of this being the 250th year of our republic. There are some facts about our nation and about the church in general that most people need to know. Faith has and will always continue to shape our nation. First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Okay, so Congress nor the government can establish religion for the entire United States, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So that's what the First Amendment says. So we have a right to assemble. And it was Thomas Jefferson who insisted on it. So there was never an intent to separate the church completely. It just didn't want the government telling the church what to do.
Here is this week's message.
The National Archives are loaded with information that tells you how this country was founded. In fact, I'm going to share some of it with you, because this whole thing about Thomas Jefferson and his intent for the wall of separation between church and state, they dealt with it a bit in this video that's on Prime. But what they said was that even though he said it, he wasn't really a Christian, so it didn't really matter. The problem he had was they came out of England, where the king was the head of the church. So the church is being regulated from the monarchy. That's what he didn't want. He didn't want them to be under a monarchy that was dictating them a religion. And you had to be part of that religion. And that's what King George was doing at the time. Now, I think if I can recall right, it goes back to King Henry VIII, who broke from the Roman Catholic Church because he had these wives and he couldn't divorce under Catholic. So he decided, I'm going to start a Church of England. And he did. So King Henry did his own thing and decided he was going to go another route. So from that time on, every king, including King Charles today, is head of the church. And in fact, that was part of the issue with the colonists. Wherever England had a colony, you had to obey the head of the church, which is the king, to go with the Church of England. But when they were here, they had their own versions of Christianity. In fact, I wrote about this in my book. This is back in 2012, called American Heritage 101. And was called, the Lord gave it to me. He said, it's a mini course on American values, past, present, and future. And in here, he talked about it. And the Lord gave it to me so succinctly. He said, go back into the archives. Go back and read what's going on with the Christians. And I wrote about it. He said, the colonies began to polarize according to the different Christian beliefs, which resulted in each state establishing its own church. And the laws of these states were designed to reflect the religious beliefs of the people. So all the colonies were having their own churches. Thomas Jefferson's state was Anglican, okay? And it said you could be jailed for preaching Jesus Christ according to Baptist doctrine if you were in Virginia. So if you think about that, what was going on? And so there was a letter from the Danbury Baptist Association wrote to Thomas Jefferson, who was president at the time, and they were appealing to him that they need to do something to separate all these people from these laws in these different colonies based on religion. So they did. And so that was part of what he wanted, a separation, because he remembered what happened in England. And in this video, they talk about how they were still paying taxes to support the Church of England while they were in this country doing their own religious beliefs. So that's what they wanted, the break from England and the Church of England. So the thing we have to understand today is we do have rights. In fact, I will read what the First Amendment says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Okay, so Congress nor the government can establish religion for the entire United States, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So that's what the First Amendment says. So we have a right to assemble. And it was Thomas Jefferson who insisted on it. So there was never an intent to separate the church completely. It just didn't want the government telling the church what to do. That is going on right now. You can't speak the name of Jesus Christ in some areas. Has anybody taken the government to task? Not that I know of. Try to speak Jesus Christ on the airwaves. Okay, that's prohibiting our speech. There are things that we have not fought as rights, as Christians, that we need to stand up for in these last days. So I'm just not going to go into further than that. But the whole point is, the whole thing is, government, you stay out of the church. You can't tell us what we can and cannot say. Church, we will not tell the government anything about how it needs to run. That's why when the kingdom comes here, we are ambassadors. We can share, but we can't force our ideas on anyone, nor can the government, and should the government, according to our First Amendment rights, force anything on the church. But yet they do, and nobody's quite challenged it yet, but that is coming. So that's what I wanted to share with you about the separation, the so-called separation of church and state. It does not exist, and it never was to exist. Now, there's further proof. The Lord had me go through the Library of Congress. There was an exhibition done. It was a Library of Congress. It was called Religion and the Founding of the American Republic. Now, this is 250 years of the founding of the Republic, so this is really appropriate. But this was back in 2010. It was called The State Becomes the Church, and it talks about Jefferson and Madison. And here's a quote. It said, Jefferson's action may seem surprising because his attitude toward the relationship between religion and government is usually thought to have been embodied in his recommendation that there exists a wall of separation between church and state. In that statement, Jefferson was apparently declaring his opposition, as Madison did also, to a national religion, okay? But in attending church services on public property, Jefferson and Madison, as they consciously and deliberately were offering symbolic support to religion as a prop for the Republican government. Okay, so it's saying here that they weren't really religious, but they never intended on anything other than not to have the state to establish a national religion. So that's what it was all about. But here's more that was really interesting in this whole thing about religion and the founding fathers. It was the proposed seal for the country. Now, this is what I thought was fascinating. If there was indeed a separation of church and state, and you can verify any of this in the Library of Congress, and this is the Congress of the Federation, proposed seal for the United States, okay? Benjamin Franklin wanted a biblical story of the parting of the Red Sea. Jefferson proposed as our official national seal, the story of the children of Israel led by a cloud by day and pillar by night. So does this sound like a separation between church and state? No. However, we have allowed our courts to use it and without people doing research. And if you're ignorant enough to do that, so be it. And that's what it has been. But that's not the case. So go back in the archives, do your own research. Liberia Congress also, as I said, published this. It was an exhibition that was done. And I'm sure probably it will come up again. It was done by the Lilly Foundation, the Pew Charitable Trusts. It was called Religion and the Founding Fathers, 1777 to 89. It was called Religion and the Congress of Confederation. Okay, so you'll find that there was religion and also the federal government. So there's different parts of this exhibit that they did. It was very fascinating that at the time the Lord had me writing, he told me to go ahead and do this as well. So that we can kind of put that away right now, because right now it's a deception that people still fall into, because they were having church services in the House of Representatives. And it's kind of interesting because it was well known. Even in the video, they talk about how the government, when they had an issue, they went to pray. When there's something they wanted to have done, they would go to pray. So just know that our leaders were praying, whether it was in the state house, House of Representatives, in a local church, in a house, they were always praying. And so there was never a separation between church and state, because these Christians were still praying for to get through the war, praying for other nations. So it's well documented in that video. However, the other part of it too, the ambiguity. We can say we're Christian, we can say we believe in this, but then what we actually do has been different as a nation, but that's kind of in the fabric of what makes America unique. In any case, also, we're going to talk about the things that are happening right now. The biggest test for this whole thing about religious liberties will be seen, I do believe, with Islam and Sharia law, because right now they're putting us to test in ways that have not been done ever. So it's going to be interesting. The other thing I wanted to tell you is that the Lord began talking to me about Christianity. Okay, now we're talking about religion, but the Lord made it very clear to me that Christianity was not a religion. It's not a religion. And I've written about this multiple times, but the first time I wrote about it was in 2012. And it's kind of interesting because the Bible does reflect this very clearly, that the Christianity is not a religion. In fact, here I have in this companion book to the 101 is American Heritage Prophecy Series. It's the destiny of a nation from a kingdom perspective. So in here, the Holy Spirit spoke words that Christianity was never supposed to be a religion. It says the kingdom of God has always been about changing the lives of human beings by ridding the church of hunger, sickness, disease, poverty, and human degradation. This is Christianity. It's not a religion. It's a way of living, a kingdom living, a way of loving and sharing with our fellow men. Now, how do we turn it into a religion? I don't know. I guess you think of human beings, if they don't understand certain things, can turn anything to a religion. But the Holy Spirit has said it is not a religion. In fact, he took me through the Bible. The book of Acts, it says it periodically throughout the book of Acts. It calls it the way, either the way of the Lord, the way of God, but it calls it the way. Acts 9, verse 2, Acts 18, 25 and 26, Acts 19, 9 and 23, Acts 24, 22. Throughout, they talk about the way. They talk about this way because at the time, you have to understand, it was not a religion. It was just people meeting in a house and they were hearing from the Holy Spirit how to love, how to take care of people. They were dealing with all kinds of things when there was a drought or there was a famine or if there was like some kind of need, they were taking care of each other's needs. They were going house to house daily. They were taking their resources and selling things and helping the people who had none. It was a way, not a religion. They were not meeting in a church building. You didn't see all the songs, the music, the things that we're seeing as the traditional church today. That was not how it was. It's called the way. The way of dealing and living with one another. And we're supposed to be doing that as ambassadors. So it was never about religion. And the Lord said, men made religion. God told them what to do, told them what, that's what Jesus talked about, love, sharing, not cheating somebody else. What did John the Baptist say when he came teaching the kingdom? He says, if he has two coats, give to one that has none. If you have more food than you need, give some to somebody that has none. If you're a worker, don't cheat anybody. I mean, these are ways of operating. This has nothing to do with being in a religious setting and doing things you think are appropriate for God. No, he's talking about relationship, how to love and share and love one another. That's Christianity, not a religion, a way.
Jesus said that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. In fact, it was the Lord who gave me the assignment of researching the founding of America back in 1998. The enemy has intentionally hidden so much of our American history in order to deceive God's people into believing that it's against the law to exercise our First Amendment rights. Not so. Everyone else is stepping forward to defend their right to an unrighteous lifestyle. It's about time for the redeemed of the Lord to take a stand for righteousness and say so. In Jesus' name. If you have enjoyed this episode, please join us for In Pursuit of Divine Destiny with Paula Matthews, live every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to like and subscribe both to this podcast channel and to our YouTube channel as well. If you would like to partner with us, you can find details on our ministry site, which is www.epicvisionarypartners.org. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.